Studio 360.
This week would have been the 100th birthday of the singer and songwriter and pianist, Nat King Cole.
Unforgettable, that's what you are.
Nat King Cole was one of the most popular jazz pop performers from the 1940s through the 1960s. And in 1956, he made history.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company presents with pride the incomparable Nat King Cole.
The Nat King Cole Show ran on NBC for just over a year, from November 1956 through December 1957. Despite that brief run, it was a hugely important cultural landmark, a big network TV show starring an African American, and the last one of those until the 1960s. A while ago, I spoke with Daniel Mark Epstein, who wrote an excellent biography of Cole. I asked him about how Nat King Cole's groundbreaking TV show came to be and what it meant.
Nat had been trying to get a television show since 1953, and although he was the most, the highest paid nightclub performer in the country and fantastically popular, the networks kept refusing him a shot at a network television show. And they kept saying, well, we don't have enough money, or we can't find a time slot. But the real reason was because the man was black, and in certain parts of the country, they knew that they would not be able to get sufficient sponsorship.
Here's a great blend of great jazz musicians and a fine jazz composition featuring Coleman Hawkins, Roy Eldridge, Stan Getz, and the Oscar Peterson Trio. The little tune is called Stomping at the Savoy. Savoy.
It's really important, I think, to realize the significance of this breakthrough in the media for an African-American to get his own television show, and to see it in the context of other things that were going on in the 1950s. One, of course, was the Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court decision in the 1950s. One was the Montgomery bus boycott. And shortly after that, Nat went down to Birmingham to give a concert, and he was actually attacked on stage by white supremacists who believed that his music was detrimental to the public morals. This caused such a national scandal that Cole became far, far more famous than he had been before. He was invited to sing at the White House. And a lot of people believe that it was this Nat King Cole's sudden higher visibility that actually persuaded NBC to give him a chance on the television.
Somebody loves me. I wonder who. I wonder who she can be.
Who at NBC was his great enthusiast?
David Sarnoff, who actually was the founder of both RCA and NBC. Sarnoff one evening was watching Nat King Cole and Harry Belafonte on the television, and he was so moved, incredibly moved by the brilliance of these two entertainers, that he told the ad salesman at NBC, he said, "You've got to go out and get a sponsor for this show, or heads will roll." And even so, they were not able to get a national sponsor. What they started doing is piecing together local sponsors, but that wasn't enough. And finally, in 1957, Nat was so frustrated by what was going on that when they threatened to change his time slot to a worse time, he said he wasn't going to do it, this was the cause of his, this occasioned his most famous epigram when he said, "Madison Avenue is afraid of the dark."
Thank you very much. You know, here's a beautiful song called Two Different Worlds. So with the Boutonnieres and Mr. Gordon Jenkins, we hope you enjoy this one. Two different worlds we live in. Two different worlds.
Was this a good show, in addition to being a socially important show?
Oh, it was a spectacular show, and Nat's connections in the entertainment world by the 1950s were extraordinary, and he could have anybody on the show, although they hardly had any money. Tony Bennett, Ella Fitzgerald, Frankie Lane, all of the big stars wanted to be on Nat King Cole's show because it was an important cause. He was the Jackie Robinson of the television world. What he was doing for television was very comparable to what Jackie Robinson had done 10 years earlier in 1947 by becoming the first African-American to play Major League Baseball.
I'm shooting high, got my eye on a star in the sky. Shooting high.
In the African-American communities, everything would stop when Nat King Cole came on the television. It was so important for the community to see him. I mean, he was incredibly sophisticated. He was charming. He was completely in charge of his show. It was very inspiring for the black community and also had an extraordinary influence on the white community as well. He got letters, for instance, he got one wonderful letter that I can remember from a woman who was trying to raise a family of children that were of mixed race, and how she felt that the Nat King Cole show had made her neighbors more comfortable with them as a family. That's the kind of grassroots effect that the show had.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you all, and thanks again for being with us.
I spoke with Daniel Mark Epstein in 2001. Right now, there's a new musical I saw recently at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles that imagines, in a highly stylized, fictionalized way, the final moments of the Nat King Cole show. It's called Lights Out, Nat King Cole. Dulé Hill stars as Cole, uncertain and angry as he tries to make sense of his show's cancellation. In the finale, should he keep being Mr. Gracious, beloved by white America, or, as his friend Sammy Davis Jr. suggests, go out with a bang?
I've been a fan of Nat King Cole for a very long time. Of course, A Christmas Song is one of my favorite songs ever. My grandfather used to play it when I was growing up. Just the strings leading into the song brings you into this phantasmical place. And then when Nat King Cole comes in, he starts with his first note of chestnuts.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
There's something warm about it, something embracing about
Jack
it.
Frost nipping at your nose.
And from there, I just fell in love with his voice. The smoothness of it, how melodic his voice is, and how easily he danced upon the notes.
Sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
And when he says, everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
That part right there, the way he climbs down the steps, there's something so melodic about it and easy.
Help to make the season bright.
I love A Christmas Song. I love that song. And I'm thankful that I get a chance to sing that song in the show, in Lights Out. But it's also daunting every night. It's just the idea of getting ready to sing that song in front of a live audience. Because, I mean, he sang that song so perfectly. I don't think it can be or will ever be sang better than Mr. Cole did. I don't try to mimic Mr. Cole. I try to get his essence. I really try to capture that when I sing his songs. His spirit, the essence of his voice, the essence of his song, the gracefulness in it, the softness in his voice, that cool, calming breeze that his voice is as it dances along the notes, trying to really take that and marry that to my being. And hopefully people, when they see the show, can see that reflected on stage.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
I really related to many things. I mean, one, I would say they wanted Mr. Cole just to stay in his lane, really, just to sing the song and be quiet. And I think oftentimes today as artists, we're faced with that same situation. Many times if I post anything political or give my point of view, they're going to tell me just to shut up and stick to acting. It's amazing that he had to go through that years ago and was still going through that today. That's what I relate to with Mr. Cole's story, is how people will try to make a general statement and make that gospel just so that they can keep doing things the way that they want to do it. Like now, like they'll say, you know, African Americans don't really sell overseas. That's what they'll try to say, like when it comes to financing movies and things like that. No, that doesn't sell over there. Or no, we can't diversify this cast because that doesn't sell. Then again, you have a show like Hamilton that comes along and knocks that out the water. He was using his platform of being in the living room of families across the country every day just so that people could then see his humanity and not only his humanity, but the humanity of many other people who look just like him. You know, that's something I related to with him and I really appreciate about his journey. It's an honor to really have this platform to continue telling Mr. Cole's legacy and also tell a story about who we are today.
That's DeLay Hill. The Lights Out, Nat King Cole is playing at the Geffen Playhouse in L.A. through March 24th. Our story was produced by Zoe Saunders and Tommy Bazarian.
Travel my way, take the highway, that's the best.